Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, about 88 degrees already. Man, it was hot over the weekend. I went to the zoo and to a water park over the weekend. That was my big weekend.
That's a fun weekend, Greg.
Well, yeah, I
saw the pictures of you in the water park. Did you go down any slides?
I did. Here's the thing you don't do at my age. Don't go down the slides backwards.
Backward.
That made me nauseated, man.
Oh, gosh. I didn't know you could go down the slide backwards.
Yeah, I did the...
That's pretty hardcore, Greg.
The one on the, on the little tube. I did it backwards one time. And ruined my day.
That could have been a viral YouTube video.
No, it's fine. I mean, I got out alive, but...
Especially if you got out of the pool and were like, man, that made me dizzy. That would have been fun.
I had a couple incidents on slides, so I don't do them anymore.
You don't do slides anymore?
Well, one time I almost ran into this Samoan girl. And somehow I was able to hit the side, go up and around her. And when I got down at the bottom, I was mad. I was going to say something to her. And then her boyfriend walked up.
Uh-huh.
And that was the biggest Samoan dude.
Was he Samoan as well?
Oh, my gosh. I bet he's a professional wrestler, right? That dude was so big.
Pardon me, ma'am.
So I just didn't say anything and just walked
Shuffled
away.
Shuffled on away.
Yep.
Yeah. Good move there. That was nice. I went to the Discovery Island over there.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, off 385.
Fun
it was
times.
Nice. First time. Well, we had our granddaughter in town.
Sweet.
Is that the one in Simpsonville?
Yeah, it's close to Simpsonville.
Yeah, I think I went there when it first opened up a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Pretty good. They had a big crowd yesterday. Huge crowd. They told me we have someone in our family that works there, and she said Sundays usually aren't very busy, but yesterday was jam-packed. I guess the heat. Everybody tried to escape the heat.
Yeah.
And then the zoo. We went to the zoo on Saturday, and then I saw this story yesterday that Sunday morning an orangutan escaped from the Greenville Zoo.
The
day after we were there.
Yeah, but they coaxed him back.
Yeah, they corralled him. He got out through a hole in the top of the cage or something and was on the loose for a while. They had to take people at the zoo to safe zones.
Safe zones.
No, listen. Have you seen what orangutans and some of those? They can rip your face off.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
rip your face
yeah.
off.
Yeah, it's not good when they get loose.
Oh, no, I've never heard of this rip
you
your
really,
face off.
You should look it up.
I live near the zoo. This frightens me.
Yes. Well, he's back in custody.
Good.
Thankfully.
Custody.
Yes, he has been corralled. So that was my weekend.
Well, that sounds exciting, Greg, from going back
going
backward, you know, and on the water slide. And then
living on the edge, baby, if you're not.
Barely missed an orangutan escape.
You're not living on the edge. You're taking up too much space.
So at what point while going backwards did you think, boy, this was
halfway
stupid.
Down, I thought, this is a bad idea, you know, because, I mean, you know, it was fun for the first few feet. And then once you start going around the curves and you can't kind of see them coming, that's what made me nauseous.
Mm. Yeah.
It did.
Don't blame
did.
You.
One time only on that for me. Mm. And I probably won't do it again. 844-477-3776 here in the huddle. The text line 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. College football, Phil Steele puts out a publication every year. I don't think it's out yet, is it? But it'll be out soon.
It's out. It's
book
I've
out?
Seen it. I've seen
oh,
people,
it already out?
People
okay.
A lot of people like treat that like it's the holy
the
Bible of college football.
Yeah.
I think it's good and it's useful, and I like to read it. I don't think it's that, though, a lot of times, because it's basically just numbers, and then he throws his opinion in there and messes the numbers up.
Yeah, I don't know about his opinion so much. It's loaded with stats.
His analysis, though, is second to none, and I love watching it. And, you know, a lot of time, most of the time he's right. So, yeah, it's good, but it's out, and a lot of people have put it out on social media stuff. I just haven't read it yet.
Will he be right about this? His team to watch, Phil Steele's team to watch, the U. Here's what he says about him.
at Miami of Florida's defensive front seven, it is loaded. That defensive line, one of the best in the country. The linebacking corps was all freshmen last year. Very highly touted freshmen, but now those guys are soft. So they've got a nasty defensive front seven. They do lose their quarterback. I think if Brad Kyle was back, they'd be a top five team this year. But Nicosi Perry could step in as a true freshman. And when I look at Miami's talent and their schedule, I am an underdog in one game when they've traveled to face Florida State early in the year. So I think, and this is quite a statement, they have never made the ACC title game. Who would have thought that when they joined the ACC? I'm going to call for them to make it this year, and that means they're one upset away from actually making the playoffs. So watch out for Miami.
About that, maybe good that Clemson played Miami a couple years back and not this year. That'd be a tough game this year. Yeah. But they don't have Brad Kaya. I mean, what the quarterback's going to be key for them having a big year.
This and we don't know who it's going to be. My guess is if you look at Mark Richt's career, whenever he's had a situation like this where you have an older, you know, Malik Rozier is a redshirt junior and was the backup last year. Whenever you have an older guy and then a talented young freshman, he'll start the older guy, but he won't hesitate to pull the switch if he needs to do it. But he's usually leaned towards starting the older guy. I like this team except quarterback, and I think Phil may be undervaluing the fact that they may have quarterback issues. I mean, I think if there's one thing that does them in this year, it's going to be that,
yeah.
And that's just so important. But you look at the defensive front, and it is great. And you know who coaches their defensive line?
Who?
He's the guy I call the wizard of defensive line, Craig Kuligowski. You know where he was before he's at Miami? Missouri. Did you see what Missouri did with a bunch of 2- and 3-star recruits winning the East back-to-back in the defensive line? A buddy of mine, Bobby Burton, who I used to work for at Rivals.com and then 24/7 later, he's a Texas guy, so he's a Big 12 guy. And he told me a long time, he said, you know what Missouri does a good job of? I was like, what? He's like, they evaluate and put together defensive lines better than just about anybody in the Big 12. I was like, really? And then you watch them when they transitioned to the SEC, they were ready to go with the D-line because they had the guys in place. You know, everybody from Michael Sam to the rest of them. I mean, you look, there's a lot of Missouri defensive linemen in the NFL. Well, the new coach there, in all of his genius, decided he didn't want Kuligowski around anymore and said, oh, go on. And so Mark Richt hired him at Miami. And you look at their defensive line now, Greg, and all these guys are back. Chad Thomas, good player. Kendrick Norton, at defensive tackle, good player. R.J. McIntosh, good player. They have a Viper hybrid guy named Joseph Jackson, who's a sophomore who I like. And Phil's absolutely right. Their linebackers, Zach McLeod, Shaquille Quarterman, Michael Pickney, all sophomores but all talented guys. And they're always good in the secondary. So Miami's defense could be a bit salty this year. And then on offense, Amon Richards, Braxton Berrios, Lawrence Kager, all those guys are really good. Mark Walton's an excellent running back. They have all the pieces, including 1, 2, 3 starters on the offensive line that are seniors, 1 junior, and then a freshman. So that, you know, they have all the pieces in place to finally break through and win the Coastal. He's absolutely right. It's astonishing to say the Miami Hurricanes have never won the Coastal Division since they've been in the ACC.
Well, they had a 5-game winning streak at the end of last year, so they're hot. And I mean, they weren't far from winning it last year. They were 9-4 overall. And Virginia Tech finished up 6-2 in the conference, and Miami and North Carolina were 5-3 along with Pitt. So you think Miami beats out Virginia Tech and North Carolina to win that division this year?
I think it's certainly possible. And, you know, as Phil mentioned, I mean, if I were picking, I'd probably pick them. As Phil mentioned, their schedule sets up pretty well. I mean, 3 of their first 5 games are on the road, but it's at Arkansas State. I don't know who scheduled that. At Florida State game is September 16th this year.
Yep.
At Duke. And then you got Georgia Tech, Syracuse, at North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Miami. Virginia at Pitt, that game at Pitt Thanksgiving weekend can be really tricky. But no, I think it sets up pretty well for them this year, especially considering Notre Dame is a conference game but not a conference game.
Right.
You know, and the game's at home, and I think Miami should be able to beat Notre Dame this year at home. So it's the schedule sets up well. I think, you know, beyond the FSU game, those games against Duke and Georgia Tech kind of in September, October, and the Duke game in Durham is on Friday, which anything can happen on a Friday. And then Georgia Tech comes to Hard Rock Stadium on a Thursday. But they win those two, they're 2-1 or 3-0 in the league. I could see Miami. Miami has a path this year. Quarterback's going to be the key, though. And I do think Phil Steele is undervaluing that a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fascinating. I like Mark Richt. I think he's going to do a good job down there. I know Georgia fans were tired of him, but he has new life in Miami, and I think he's going to make the most of it. So I wouldn't be surprised either to see him take the Coastal and get to that ACC championship game. 844-477-3776. Let's talk to Adam next in the huddle. Adam, welcome in. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to actually add on a little bit about the whole Miami thing. I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan, and we kind of in a similar situation with the whole – unknown who's going to be our quarterback. I didn't know if you guys had heard anything as regards to that, who it may be with regards to Hendon or A.J. Bush or the other guy who's been on the team for a couple of years. The name is slipping my mind right at this very moment. But that and I honestly, like, as much as I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan, I hate Miami. It's been bred into me to hate Miami. But I have a tough time not saying that the ACC Coastal is going to come down to Virginia Tech and Miami. And Miami's probably – in my mind, as much as I want to be a homer here, probably would have a little bit of an advantage just on, you know, just pure, like, you know, stars and things like that on recruiting. They always have the advantage over us. But I just was curious what you guys had to say about our quarterback situation and then Virginia Tech as a whole, and I'll hang up with us. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Adam.
I think, you know, looking at Virginia Tech's, I love their defensive line. Trevon Hill is a player, as a recruit I really liked. Ricky Walker, Tim Settle on the inside. Backed up by Fullwood and Hewitt. That's huge. Love their linebackers. Love Mook Reynolds overall. He's the whip. That's one of those Bud Foster-specific positions. Think they're good in the secondary, as they always are. But quarterback, it's going to be, you know, that's going to be interesting. You mentioned A.J. Bush. I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. I just don't. A.J. Bush was kind of a journeyman. Was at Nebraska. Now he's here. Who knows? I think it's the other guy, Josh Jackson
is the
his name. Yep. Yeah, that could do that. But look out for Hooker, because Hooker is a guy that has a lot of tools. I don't know if he'll eventually take it or not if Jackson starts this year, but he's gonna be in position to win it at some point, in my opinion. So, those are kind of the things I'm looking out for as far as Virginia Tech goes. And yeah, I like the makeup of the team. You had Evans last year. Is Jackson or whoever going to be able to give you what Evans gave you? That's to be determined. Trayvon McMillan's back at running back. You got guys behind him. So, hey, you know, it could be good. But, you know, certainly I would not count out the Hokies or the Canes or the Tar Heels or the Pittsburgh Panthers.
About Georgia Tech.
Or Georgia Tech or anybody in that division. I mean, it's, you know, every year. I mean, Duke and Virginia are kind of down at the bottom. But,
yeah.
You know, Duke won it a couple years ago. I mean, yeah, Duke has won that division, and Miami has not.
Right.
So that's kind of weird.
It is. Jackson has been in the Justin Fuente system for a year, so that gives him a little bit of an advantage going in. He's smaller. He's 6'1", 211 pounds, and Bush is 6'4", so he's got that size. He was a backup at Nebraska for a while. But I would favor Jackson right now. Until we see something that changes that.
Yeah, because he's been in the system. He's a kid out of the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
They were really high on him. He's one of those guys, Justin Fuente, just kind of went and said, hey, you're one of our guys. And they got a, you know, Paxton Lynch, we've talked about him. They found him when they were at Memphis. They found Evans at junior college last year. Jared Evans made a huge mistake. Now, Jared Evans is back this year. Virginia Tech, they may be talking about them not only winning the Coastal, but winning the whole league. Because of the other personnel, but I, you know, he made a bad decision, and quite frankly, their receiver Isaiah Ford, seventh round, one of the last picks in the draft, he made a bad decision too, as far as leaving early. But you know, we'll see what happens with that. But that Coastal division's always interesting. It's going to be real interesting to watch this year too.
No question. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Hot Takes and Sausage coming up next. This is the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Brett Bielema from Arkansas, still on the podium at SEC Media Days in Hoover, answering questions from reporters. He's the first coach up at this four-day event there. He just had a baby like 2 days ago, right? And his wife just gave birth 2 days ago.
I did not see that, but congratulations to him, and congratulations to his wife, who's probably the hottest wife in the SEC.
Yeah,
that guy has the hottest wife in the SEC.
Yeah, that dude, because he's handsome.
Really?
Yeah. Look her up.
That shows you women really don't care about looks.
He said the last time he was up for 48 hours before this baby was probably in Vegas.
That's where he met her.
Yeah. Is that right?
We've all read the love story of Jen Velima and, and Brett Velima. She was a cocktail waitress. And he's just out there, you know, doing what any single guy that makes $4 million a year does, hanging out in Vegas. And, and they got married. So good for him.
Yep.
Great personality. He's one of my favorite guys in terms of just the honesty that he approaches things with. I like that. I like honest people.
No doubt. He says Austin Allen, his quarterback, has a chip on his shoulder this year. So we'll see if that makes a difference. A couple of other quotes from him. He mentioned David Williams. You know, he and David Williams from South Carolina ended up at Arkansas. He was going to go to UConn.
Yeah.
And ended up at Arkansas.
I hate to interrupt, but she's married to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, did you Google the picture, Lonzo?
It's looking at several pictures.
Unbelievable.
Here. Yes.
Just congratulations, Brett. Gosh. Yeah. But no, David Williams, let me say it interesting about that, because when he was visiting Arkansas, we got the report from our Arkansas site, and I was like, I checked with some folks at South Carolina. I was like, you guys going to release him to Arkansas? Because, you know, they're on the schedule this year. And they're like, absolutely. We don't care.
Wow.
So, you know, we'll see ultimately what happens there. I always thought David Williams was probably a little bit better than how he played.
Yeah.
But clearly he could not I mean, he was given the opportunity. He couldn't take the next step last year.
Never did at South Carolina. Nope. We'll see. Maybe he'll find some magic at Arkansas.
And, you know, Arkansas lost Raleigh Williams, their other talented back. They have Devoy Whaley at running back and Austin Allen. So they need a second back. That's how that thing kind of works out there. They like to rotate backs and ground and pound you. That's the ground and pound offense out there. So we'll see. But it should be interesting to watch. Arkansas is one of the most enigmatic teams in the country the last 3 years. You know, they do – they go out and they get beat by 40 to somebody you don't expect them to get beat by. I mean, like last year they lost at Auburn 56-3.
Yeah.
56-3 to that Auburn team.
That offense.
But, you know, they had some other games where they were impressive. Yeah. I mean, so it's just blew leads. Like they blew a big – they lost to Missouri. They blew a 17-point halftime lead in the Battle Line Cup or whatever they call that crap these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then had Virginia Tech – down by, what, 24 at halftime in the Belt Bowl and lost?
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very enigmatic. And as far as their game against the Gamecocks, you know, this coming year, I have no idea what to expect, literally. No clue. I mean, is this going to be the team that beat Florida 31-10 at home, or the team the week before, or 2 weeks before, they lost at Auburn by 53? I mean,
Yeah, South Carolina gets them at home, which helps.
Yeah, first week of October – and that's another – it's interesting thing. I mentioned earlier South Carolina has a bunch of spread teams at the beginning of the year, and then Arkansas comes to town.
Right.
So this year's South Carolina schedule is – I mentioned the word enigmatic. I don't know what to think. I thought last year's schedule on paper going in, there were 6 winnable games, you know, and maybe 7 if they were lucky. And, you know, if they'd have beaten Kentucky, that would have been 7, you know.
Right.
This year, shoot – they could lose every single one of them. They could win 10. They could lose 7. I mean, it's just so different and weird because not only the teams they're playing, but where they are in the schedule. Tennessee's usually Halloween weekend. It's the second weekend of October.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia is usually early September, mid-October at the latest. It's the first weekend in November in Athens.
Yep.
You know, so it's just different. It's hard to tell this year.
All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's get to Hot Takes and Sausage Monday edition in the huddle.
All right. Is there a coach that has overwhelming talent that chokes more than John Calipari? Think about this for a minute. That great Kentucky team he had in the semifinals choked against Wisconsin, lost. That Memphis team, gosh, if they could have hit a free throw, they could have won the national championship when he was at Memphis. Didn't happen. And then last night, or recently, he led the USA under-19 basketball team to a loss to Canada.
Yeah.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're America. This is where basketball was invented. Are we supposed to lose those types of games? Can we blame Calipari? Should we fire him? As a country? As a patriot?
Maybe he needs to go to the NBA.
No, that was a disaster when that happened. And then you have all these weird rumors every year. Calipari interested in Nick's position or whatever. And then he comes out and tweets, I have the best job in basketball. I'm staying at Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that.
I mean, that's just – there's smoke and mirrors around that. But this guy fundamentally, when it gets down to it, in big games, has an issue, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loses games he shouldn't. So that's going to hurt him. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy, one of the best coaches in basketball, good, you know, good coach, all that. But you just have to wonder. I mean, and then you go and you lose with Team USA. Wow. All right, so the Toronto Raptors, remember how it went off when they were talking about blowing it up because they won 51 games?
Yep.
Come to find out, they did very little.
they didn't blow it up.
No. Just about everybody coming back, all that. You know, I want to say this. This is the first time in a long time I've gotten into the NBA offseason. And I want to thank you guys because I love it. It's dramatic. It's almost like college football recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to sign where? Well, these guys could do this and super team and blah, blah, blah. I kind of dig it. I mean, honestly, this may be the first time in my life I have followed the NBA offseason like I have. And it's intriguing.
Well, this is – I don't remember one ever being like this.
No, so this is a special
good one to start on.
Or is this a special one?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, really.
And then we're speculating on what's going to happen next offseason.
Oh, yeah, next year is going to be crazy.
Yeah, when everybody goes to the Lakers.
Led by LeBron. When LeBron takes the whole NBA to the Lakers.
And then I will be prophetic because they'll be back.
That is correct.
It'll be awesome. All right, I was looking at the Clemson depth chart today, too. And they haven't released, I don't think, a preseason one yet, Greg, but they still have the one from the spring.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I noticed, and this is an interesting thing, as far as when you're talking about building a program and how kind of one of the secret sauces of Clemson's success since maybe about 2014-ish or so. We hear from afar, everybody's like, oh, yeah, Clemson, they recruit a lot of five stars. And they do. They sign more than their fair share. But let's look at their depth chart at corner. Marcus Edmund and Ryan Carter, who I think, besides the Clemson offer, had one offer between them. Nobody else really seriously recruited them. Are starting over Trayvon Mullen and Mark Fields, who are both either Army or Under Armour All-Americans and national-level recruits.
Mm-hmm.
This just shows you recruiting is a blend. It is a blend. It's not just about star ratings and highly recruited guys. It's about going out and getting the no-brainers, but also that second part of your class or the lower third of your class, going out and getting guys that can play so they can compete and make the other guys better. You know, there are two programs in the country right now that the recruiting analysts rate all of their guys 4 or 5 stars, and that's Alabama and Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and probably rightfully so. But I'll promise you, Alabama and Ohio State aren't always signing in the lower third of their class true 4-star guys. A lot of it's on rep. So I think that Clemson is a case study of how to not only go out and get elite talent, but to sign the right guys that maybe aren't as highly regarded and evaluate them well and develop them. And look, it's probably legit if you look at how, you know, the totality of their careers. Marcus Edmund and Ryan Carter have done a heck of a lot more in the last season to help Clemson win than Mullen, who was a freshman last year, and Mark Fields. It's just how it is.
Yep.
Now, Mullen and Fields were much more highly regarded, but that just hasn't happened. All right. Special sausage today.
Okay.
That was a great use of alliteration. All right. So, in case you guys don't know, I do karaoke. I love doing karaoke. Some weekends, you can find me out at some establishment singing karaoke. And when I do Prince, I do Purple Rain. And I'm really, really good at it. When I was in college, I won $100 singing Purple Rain as my first song and Piano Man by Billy Joel as my kicker. So I'm in the karaoke place the other night. I just sang a song by Brad Paisley. And this guy comes up. And you remember when Prince changed his name to an unpronounceable symbol?
FCAP.
Yes, that's it. So he comes up and he takes that and he has it on a poster board. And he hangs it up. And then the karaoke guy starts doing some strobe lights and stuff. And I'm like, man, what's going on here? This is a production. All right, so you would think, because I didn't sing Purple Rain, you would think, though, he'd probably sing Purple Rain, you know, maybe a little Seven, stuff in your – No. He busts out When Doves Cry, first and foremost. It was the best karaoke rendition of When Doves Cry that I've ever heard. Mm. Then he backs it up, goes a little older school, and does Little Red Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended it with Diamonds and Pearls. And by that point, the whole place was slow dancing.
Is this a mini concert? I mean, you can do that many
in
a row?
I've never seen this at karaoke before, but if he brought staging, you know, brought his stage there, I guess it was a little mini concert. So hail to his talent. I don't know this guy's name. Hail to whatever this guy's name is that had the guts to go When Doves Cry, Little Red Corvette, Diamonds and Pearls, three straight on Saturday night, and rock the house.
He wasn't like a fat, white, balding dude that just shocked everybody. Okay, I just
– but
that
would have
made the story even better.
But look, if you were walking down the street and you were just looking at this guy, you wouldn't say he could do When Doves Cry, Little Red Corvette, Diamonds and Pearls, three straight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't say, look at this guy when he walked in the club. He must. I think he was hiding his unpronounceable symbol because nobody saw it. Nobody saw this coming. It came out of nowhere. And I guess the karaoke DJ was probably in on it because he knew to do the strobe lights and stuff. But nobody saw this coming. Yeah, I mean, I'm usually at least top two, if not clearly the best karaoke singer in the bar on a given night when I go sing.
Yeah,
I was a clear number two, if that.
Hmm.
With this guy in there the other night.
But there was no vote, right? No contest?
No, there's no vote. There's no vote.
Will you go back to that particular place? Do you like being number two?
Does he run you out of your own karaoke joint?
Are you going somewhere else now?
I will definitely go back because I respect the talent, and I'm tired of carrying the show everywhere I go.
844-GSP-ESPN. We're back with more coming up in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Home Run Derby tonight, ESPN Upstate, 8 o'clock. Check it out. All-Star game tomorrow night. 844-477-3776. Carolina Coaches RV Superstore text line 71307. Twitter at ESPN Update. Last Friday, they had a Summer League basketball game, NBA game, between the Clippers and the Lakers in Las Vegas. Lonzo Ball had 5 points. Sindarius Thornwell had 26.
Yeah, but did you see the way Lonzo Ball can pass?
Was he good? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched part of it.
He made up for it the next night.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, when I get into Lonzo Ball, Thornwell, though.
That's pretty good for Thornwell.
Balled out. Dozier didn't even play.
Dozier did not make the floor.
He got 3 minutes the next night.
Yeah.
Are you going to take pleasure in Lonzo failing every single time?
Is that a trick question?
I think this was more about Dozier. I mean, Thornwell. I think that was.
Yeah, no, Thornwell was really good. He didn't hit threes. He was 0 for 4 from 3 points, but he had a lot of it was free throws, 14 of 18. But he was 6 for 13 from the field in the game, scored the first 7 points in the overtime to help seal the victory. And Bryce Johnson, another South Carolina guy, North Carolina player, but from Edisto, he had 23 points for the Clippers, 7 rebounds and 3 blocks. So he's, looking good, too. Now, it's going to be fascinating to watch. No, Lonzo, I am not making too much out of your namesake's shortcomings.
No, he needs to work on his shot, but he's an elite passer.
He got a triple-double the next night. I think it was the next night. He had 13, 13, and 13 or something like that. So he will improve.
Think Thornwell, though, can play, get some playing time?
It's summer league, so
I think he's making the roster. I think he's making the Clippers roster, and how much he plays kind of depends. This also shows you that the NBA is so much about projection. A guy that went 4 years to college and is kind of older and better than some of these other guys they have to develop and project is probably going to shine a little more in a summer league game. Also, he's Sindarius Thornwell. I mean, the guy plays with – I mean, you could tell that he was all over the court the other night. Playing with passion, playing with heart, rebounding, doing a lot. He played like Thornwell. So, you know, not a surprise, but, you know, what does that mean long term for him? I don't know. It kind of depends on making the roster and then what he does during the grind of the 82-game season.
And you think Dozier's in trouble?
Yes.
I do, too.
I just feel like – I mean, and then there was a report over the weekend that there was a franchise that was going to draft him. Second round, and his agent told him not to, that he'd rather go to the Lakers. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's advising P.J. Dozier. But if that report ends up being true, then who is this agent? That's stupid.
Yep.
Stupid. So I don't know, man. I mean, who told him to leave? Now who's telling him to do this? Who told him to go with that? I mean, it's been a mess, and – The kid needs to go somewhere and work on his shot. That's what he needs.
Yeah.
Because he can't shoot. And if you can't shoot, you can't play in the NBA.
No, typically not. It's been a bad couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, for him.
For P.J. Dozier, no question
about
it.
No doubt.
Ben Simmons, he says he's a starting point guard in the NBA. Says, yeah, I can play anywhere, but I'm a starting point guard. He is listed at point guard. Well, no, not yet. He's 6'10", though. I mean, you know, come on, you want a 6'10 point guard? The tallest point guard right now is backup Sean Livingston with the Warriors. He's 6'7". We don't have any 6'10 point guards. I mean, LeBron can play point, you know.
Simmons can play point, but is he a point guard in the
league? Is he a point guard?
No, I think that guy's got some growing up to do.
And they brought in Markelle Fultz, who is a point guard at Washington.
Who is definitely a point guard.
At 6'5".
But, I mean, look, if he continues to say this, they need to, before his value goes way down the tubes, trade him for about two picks and two starters and call it a day if you're the 76ers.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what this guy's done. He goes to LSU. You know, they have one of the best teams talent-wise in the SEC last year. They go 19-14. He had games where he looked uninterested, including the game at South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he's drafted all high, and now he had the issue with the Sixers where he was hurt or whatever. Now he says he's a point guard. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a big Ben Simmons fan.
You can be a point guard at times when they mix it up, but I mean, what makes you think you're going to play point after they drafted Fultz?
Right.
I mean, well, I'm a starting point guard. Oh, really? Maybe he's just saying this to motivate Markelle Fultz. Maybe.
Why would he do that?
Well, in team sports, you do that.
Nah.
But it's an individual
Ben
sport,
Simmons?
Isn't it, Greg?
Ben
it's
Simmons
an individual
is doing
sport.
That to help the team.
In a team sport, normally you'd see guys do that. Yeah. Like, I'm convinced that's why DeAndre Hopkins said that about Tom Savage.
Are you really?
Yeah, to motivate Savage while he's a starter, motivate
Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But, no, Ben Simmons is actually saying this, you know, like Markelle Fultz is going to be the back. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Come on.
No.
And Fultz is already done for the summer league because he's got an ankle sprain.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right. Right. 844-GSP-ESPN. Final break of this hour. We'll come back with more. We're going to hear from Greg Sankey from the opening speech at the SEC Media Days in Hoover coming up here in the next hour. Also, Dana White on the UFC event over the weekend. It was definitely a news-making event. We'll do that, too, so stay with us here. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate, back in just a moment. So SEC Media Days continuing, just underway today in Hoover, Alabama. And some of the things that are being talked about. First of all, who's the second-best team in the SEC? Obviously, Alabama is the best team in the SEC.
That's a huge question.
Who's number two? Is it Auburn? Is it Georgia?
Georgia may have the number two roster.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, Feinbaum picked Florida to win the East again. I just don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd go over Georgia. I guess everybody just thinks Georgia will screw it up somehow. I'd have to say Auburn, Greg.
Yeah.
Auburn's got a lot of good players, and, you know, they've been missing a quarterback and missing a passing game in a lot of ways. And Petway didn't really come on until the middle of last year, and he's back and healthy. Shoot, man, I don't know. I'd have to go with Auburn.
If you look at the FPI, the chance to win the West, Alabama's at 59%. Auburn, 30%. They're far and away number two. LSU, only 8. Nobody's buying LSU this year, are they? Because of the quarterback? Because Orgeron's
so.
Just, you know, new coach, all that?
What if you put Jake Bentley on LSU's roster?
Would that make a lot of difference?
They'd be talking national championship.
Are you serious? With Jake Bentley?
Yeah, because Matt Canada's the OC there. Now, you saw what he did last year at Pitt. If they had a good quarterback, and Jake Bentley is a good quarterback. I mean, he's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And the talent they have at receiver and running back, Darius Geis, you know, could be the best player in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. They were replaying on the SEC Network. I had it over there earlier because of the media days coming up. And before media days got underway, in the speech by the Commissioner Sankey, they were replaying the LSU-Alabama game, and I was watching Danny Etling try to score against Alabama, and it was not pretty.
Oh, God.
It was not. It was 10-0 game.
That was such a – that game was just so – I understand what Orgeron was doing, play it conservative, see if your defense could carry you, and maybe Alabama messes up and you get the ball at the five. But, I mean, man, they just – ugh. That was a tough, tough loss
for
them.
They did not score a point.
Mm-mm, 10-0.
Yeah.
That was the final.
Yeah. And then another question coming up at SEC Media Days is the East gaining ground on the West? I mean, look, last year the East finished 6-8 against the West head-to-head. So that's not bad. You know, you got Florida and Georgia in the East who are pretty good, and South Carolina coming on, and Kentucky went to a bowl game, and Vanderbilt even went to a bowl game. And Missouri was not good, but their offense came around. You think their defense is going to get better. Back to where Missouri has been.
They think it's going to get better. I mean, it's, you know, the defensive line, you know, and they lost some guy. Charles Harris was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, I know so. It won't be overnight, but you think Missouri will eventually learn how to play defense again because they have been so good at it.
Barry Odom was a Missouri grad. He knows the formula. But he got rid of his guru, his defensive line coach. Yeah. Missouri needed that guy to go find these under-the-radar guys and develop them. I don't know. I think Missouri is going to give South Carolina problems second week of the season at Missouri at night. They don't know they're bad yet. They did the same thing with Georgia last year and almost beat them. But I think they are going into the abyss, and I think they're going into the abyss in a big way.
Hmm.
I think we're all going to look back on their back-to-back East championships and go, how did the rest of the league let that happen?
Yeah.
Because I think they're going – I don't think Barry Odom was a bad hire. I think he's a heck of a defensive coach. They're going to have to give him 5 years. At any SEC football program, do you get 5 years? Especially one that's accustomed to success like Missouri?
Right.
I don't know.
And what about anybody on the hot seat in the conference? Well, you know Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat.
You have to put Sumlin right there.
And you could put Butch Jones and Gus Malzahn on there if they have bad years, if they have disappointing years.
They're right there where if they have disappointing Septembers, mm-hmm. you're going to start to hear the rumbles. Like if they lose some games they're not supposed to. With Malzahn, I don't think the Clemson game is going to – I mean, Clemson beats them – I don't know that that's going to determine his fate. I think you're going to hear a lot of rumbling, as you always do, whenever Auburn loses one football game, much less, you know, one against a –
But at Clemson at night, you can't hold him too responsible for that.
No, not at all. But, you know, if they don't contend in the West this year, it could get dicey. And Auburn's actually exercised un-Auburn-like patience with him so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they had a 6-6, and then last year they were, what, 8-5?
Yep.
But they went to the Sugar Bowl, so that was an improvement. But – Yeah, now that they got a quarterback, yeah, we'll see what happens. But certainly I don't think he can go 7-6 and expect to keep his job down there.
What does Sumlin have to do? Win 10?
I don't know that there's a number. And we talked about this, Greg. I don't know that there's a specific number. I think they have to finish better. You know, that LSU game, A&M doesn't really have a – you know, they're big rivals, Texas, and they don't play them anymore. And that's another subject. But – That LSU game's closest thing to a rivalry that they've got. Those two teams used to play in the 70s and 80s all the time. It's kind of like Georgia-Carolina before Carolina got in the SEC, or Georgia-Clemson is now. And they've not been competitive against them. You know, and it's because by the time that game rolls around, which is Thanksgiving weekend, their defense is dead tired and done, and their offense is still this herky-jerky, chunk-and-duck kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think – Texas A&M, what you're seeing with them is a product of them transitioning to the SEC. I think that first year, nobody was ready for Johnny Manziel. The second year, you notice they got a little better. Manziel still made some great plays and kept them in it. Now you're seeing why everybody said, well, you can't go to the SEC and run, you know, a Big 12-style spread. I don't care how good you recruit on defense. You know, you're not going to be able to keep your defense fresh, and you need that in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it depends on how they finish. And I don't know, Greg, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Ed Orgeron is scheduled to take the podium in about half an hour. The second coach of the day after Bielema. And then a little later on, Butch Jones from Tennessee. Those three schools up today. Day one of SEC Media Days. We'll hear a little bit of Greg Sankey. He talked about South Carolina some in his opening remarks. In the next hour, stay with us as we head into Hour 3 of the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Back in just a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.